The Old Testament reading from Sirach starts off pretty strong today. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. Have you ever encountered an angry person? What are you talking about? I'm not angry. The second half of that line from Sirach is very interesting. Yet the sinner hugs them tight. We may not think there are any angry people here today, but are there any sinners? We sinners can all struggle with wrath and anger, right? We all do. You know that tense feeling we can get when we're having an uncomfortable conversation with another, right? You can feel your voice start to get a little higher and your chest gets a little tight. It's that feeling of being threatened. That's not the normal way for us to feel. It's a response to danger, to threat, to wrath. But sometimes I can feel that same tenseness when I'm angry. And here's the interesting thing. I don't know if you've noticed this in yourself. There have been times when I've been wronged, and it was really hard to let it go. There are times when I can let it go, no problem. But there have been times when I really struggle to let that injustice go. And it keeps replaying in my head over and over. And the danger that I've found is that I can cling to that sense of being wronged, hug it tight. And then every time I see that person, I'm extra sensitive to any misspoken word or misplaced gesture or tone that just confirms to me that they're injustice. And we can look at our political climate today, right? Everyone seems to be hugging tight one hatred or another. And it's not just hatred at a policy or an idea, but at the person holding that idea. I remember getting great advice a while back from a married couple that when you need to have a hard or a tense conversation with your spouse, for example, or someone very close to you, you should hold hands while doing it. Because it's harder to be mean or hateful to someone when you're holding hands. Holding hands reminds us of the need to trust this other person, that I'm connected to this other person, that we have common interests and shared values, even if we disagree about any number of things. I have no idea how to change our politics, other than striving to change myself. What's wrong with our world? I am. What's wrong with our politics? I am. Because sinner that I am, I too hug wrath and anger tight. We all do. In the words of St. Paul, miserable wretches that we are, who can save us? Who can save us? I'll give you a hint. It's not any political leader. St. Paul goes on, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And we need to do our due diligence in forming our consciences and casting our votes, but whoever wins the elections, it's only Jesus Christ who saves. Maybe there's so much wrath and anger in our political speech today because we try to give part of the Savior's role to a political candidate or a party. Or do we ever try to do that to an important person in our life, a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Do we really believe that Christ is our one and only Savior, not just 2,000 years ago, but today? In the gospel, when Peter asked Jesus about forgiveness, Peter was turning to Jesus, but not fully trusting him. In Peter's mind, He was asking Jesus, how many times do I have to play the fool before I can write off my enemy? Jesus doesn't say that we must condone the actions of our enemies. That would be foolish. But he does say that we must never stop forgiving them. How can we do that? Because the source of our forgiveness is not in ourselves, but in God. In his parable, the debtor owes the king a huge amount. Literally, the Greek there says 10,000 talents, which was equivalent to 10,000 lifetimes of salaries for an average worker. 10,000 lifetimes. How could anyone ever pay that off? We can't. That's the point. You and I can never repay God what we owe him. And we do well to ponder from time to time all that we do indeed owe him. The gospel says, moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. He was free. Can you imagine the freedom that you would feel about being let go with that much debt? He was free. But here's where our society goes oh so wrong. He was not free to do as he pleased. He was freed to do likewise. He was freed with a gift. And he was charged to share that gift. And if you're struggling to forgive another person, come to the sacrament of confession and receive God's forgiveness in your own life for yourself. Receive that gift that you need to give. Justice will be done whether we forgive or not. In this lifetime or the next, justice will be done. Do you believe that? But justice is also a gift from God, just like forgiveness. And we are not ready to dispense justice until we have received it as well. I'm not sure I'm ready for God's justice just yet. But I know I'm ready for his forgiveness. Be forgiven so that you may be freed to forgive. We can't change the world. We're not supposed to change the world. But we can let God change and transform ourselves. And we can be freed from our sinful debts in order to free others. Jesus is clear in the gospel. If we are forgiven and then refuse to forgive, our own debt will come back upon us in full. We can all struggle to forgive at times, but don't stop striving for it. We have received from God mercy and forgiveness enough for 10,000 lifetimes. Use that gift for another person today. So here's the homework for the week. Do two things throughout this week. Every day, make an act of faith in Jesus as your one and only Savior, that he's saving you today. And secondly, every day, pray for the freedom to forgive and go to confession.